Let's Talk, Bible Fellowship Church's devotional podcast devoted to bringing you some spiritual truth to consider every day, Monday through Friday. Thank you for joining us today. We're going to continue our tradition, our two-week tradition of reading from the passage from our Abide devotional. And so today is Maundy Thursday, and we will be reading from John chapter 13. And I'm going to go ahead and read the first 20 verses, which say this. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from the Father and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a bowl, tied it around his waist. Then he poured the water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around them. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him, and that was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. But I, then, your teacher and Lord, have washed your feet. You also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should also do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I am not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but the scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. I am telling you this now before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me." Simon Sinek, an author and speaker that I often reference, wrote a book called Leaders Eat Last. The point of the book is that he argues that great leaders prioritize their team's well-being over their own. And the idea, Leaders Eat Last, comes from the U.S. Marine Corps, where senior officers do, in fact, eat last as a symbolic gesture saying that we are taking care of our troops, of our team, of the people that we are in charge of, modeling a way of leading that people, when they are promoted to higher ranks, should emulate. Now, he would argue that this comes from biology, that we have learned that those who are in leadership need to take care of their own, prioritize the, you know, the good of the pack rather than just the alpha male. While we would say that this is, yes, biology, because it is a created order thing, that it is a spiritual reality that God wants us to see. Jesus is our example. Of course, he is more than an example. Like he says in the passage, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am." He is also our example. He is not merely our example, but he is our example in this way, that we talk about God being love. God's love is never merely a theory. It's never merely a, you know, feeling. It is a reality, and it's a reality that's demonstrated in action. John 3:16, earlier in this same book we read from, says that God so loved the world that he did something about it. He gave. And it says here that Jesus loved his own, and now that he knew his hour has come, he was going to love them to the end. He was going to love them to the utmost, to the fullest. It says he's going to love his own, but he does not merely love his own. He is going to show ultimate love to one who is not his own. And it's made explicit because right before Jesus washes his feet, the text tells us that the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. And yet, as has been pointed out before, Jesus didn't just wash Peter and John and James' feet. He washed Judas' feet. He got down on his hands and knees the very night that he would be betrayed by this man. And he loved them in one of the most ignominious ways possible, by washing his dirty, stinky, smelly feet. Why did Jesus do this? He did this to give us an example that we ought to follow, and so he tells us. We are not greater than our master. Jesus is our master. He is our teacher and our Lord. And he demonstrates to us that love motivates to action. That love without action is like faith without deeds. It's like wisdom without humility. It does not matter. It is not true. So our question is a simple one today. What actions are we taking towards those who we say we love the most? To our family, to our friends? Are we demonstrating the feelings? We all think of ourselves as being, you know, loving people, and we have positive affection towards our family and our friends. What do we do about it? How is that demonstrated in the way that we live? And beyond that, how do we demonstrate our love for those who are not worthy of it? While we were still yet sinners, Christ died for us. While Judas was about to betray him, Jesus washed his feet. And there are those in our lives who we do not believe are worthy of our love. And yet, Jesus left us an example that we should follow. I mean, I got an email from someone this week that I didn't feel like believed the problem I was having. It was kind of condescending in their response to me. I wanted to drive up to Orlando and give him peace of my mind. And that was just someone who sent kind of a rude email to me. What about someone who would betray me to my death? Would I lay aside how I believe that I should be treated so that I can better emulate my Savior, Messiah, and Lord Jesus, loving those who are not worthy of it? Because Christ Jesus loved us when we were not worthy of it. Let's go and do likewise. God, you are not only our example, you are also our strength and our power. We are indwelt with your life. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit that empowers us to do these things that seem humanly impossible. So God, help us to love in action those that we do love, and help us also to demonstrate the love that you had even for your enemies, that we might be an example of the character of Christ to the world around us, that we would give no ammunition to people who want to say that Christians are just hypocritical and think they're better than everybody else. God, that we would make ourselves less than everybody else to show them what kind of God you are. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Thank you for tuning into another edition of Let's Talk. Church family, you are loved. Have a blessed day.